Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest has been working online for 17 years. He makes his living as the founder of Blog Marketing Academy, where he helps people grow their blogs into a profitable business. He's managed to build himself a six-figure business from this and still manages to spend plenty of time with his wife and children. He is an entrepreneur, blogger, author, speaker, and a consultant. He knows what he wants and he works hard to ensure that he gets it. Now, let's hack David Risley. Before we get going, I want to take a minute to thank my awesome sponsor, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is absolutely made for people like me and you. Entrepreneurs, small business owners, or medium-sized business owners. And I don't know why it took me 2 years to figure out. When I moved to online business, I was still printing everything out and just going completely like old school, as in dealing with a proper bookkeeper and accountant off to the side, but having to deal with the offline aspect of that. And I absolutely hated it. I didn't know how to write checks to these people. I didn't all this stuff that as my business ran online, I felt like the rest of it should have been done online, the bookkeeping, the accounting side of it. And FreshBooks absolutely now allows me to do that with the app on my phone, to the fact that they can integrate fully with PayPal and with my MailChimp account. And then also that it can just, everything is done there, all the reports, and I can just email it to the accountant to take care of, and I don't have to worry about being absolutely disorganized anymore. So I want to thank FreshBooks for that and for sponsoring me. Thank you so much. If you are an entrepreneur or a small business person like myself, I really strongly urge you to go start your 30-day free trial today. No credit card, no anything necessary. Just go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Trust me, you'll be absolutely, absolutely happy that you did. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another amazing guest today. David, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, David. And let's jump straight into it, shall we?
Cool.
David, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
For me, probably the biggest thing is that I'm fairly stubborn and I'm not one that really stop. And now that can actually be a little bit of a fault of mine in the fact that I sometimes will take things on and keep them going longer than I probably should, but it's also has the plus side in the fact that it does lead to successes because I'm not one that gives up all that easily. So, you know, I don't always do everything right, but I'm really good at being in things for the long haul.
Yeah. Is that actually, I think, almost a necessity in this business or in business? Like stubborn, I mean, you have to really nothing comes easy, right?
Nothing comes easy. It's a good thing when you're an entrepreneur and you're stubborn. But one of the interesting things is, and I've been doing this a really long time now. I've been at it in one shape or form for 17 years now. And all of us as entrepreneurs are best when we're creating something and when we're growing something and we're, you know, getting those creative juices going. The problem is when that stubborn nature that can work really well when you're starting and growing, you can fail to notice when it's time to move on from something. So that's the downside of it. It's good in the fact that it's growing and it's led to success. But on the other hand, I'm thinking of the technology site that I originally started in this business with, and I just kept it going way longer than I should have before I actually parted ways with it. And that would be the downside of being as stubborn as I am and being really good at keeping things going and not necessarily moving on at the right time.
Yeah, that's interesting, David. That's actually a really smart perspective. And I guess I was thinking of it always at the getting started period of the stubbornness. Yeah. But then 17 years in business, it's if you stay stubborn, you're right, you won't. You got to step back, right? And be like, oh, actually, this needs to change. This needs to adapt. This needs to push this way.
Yeah.
But 17 years. Sorry, I just have to do this because 17 years online, it's like almost the lifespan of like the internet as we know it. That's amazing. Seriously. Like, I mean, obviously it's not exactly, but I mean, I'm 37. So I know when it all started too, right? And that's amazing, man. That's like the changes that have gone on, like, like Facebook was not even a thought at that point. Many things. Twitter didn't exist. Email, not everybody even had email at that point. That's amazing.
No, and even I mean, now so much of what I do is centered around blogging. Let's say as a the basic idea of what you do with blogging is creating content, but all the platforms, they did not exist back then. I mean, back then I was manually coding things. It was a step up when we got to like Microsoft Front Page or something, which of course doesn't even exist anymore. So, I mean, it was a very, very
different
scene. Rightly so. Yeah, true.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it was even called web logging at that time, wasn't it?
I believe it
was. Before they actually like shrunk it down to, let's call it blogging. It makes a little more sense.
Yeah, exactly.
But so you've built a really impressive business after 17 years through stubbornness, which is now hard. So let's go back because, well, let's not go back. Let's actually stop right now, but you don't have a business, but you have all of the knowledge from your business of 17 years, but by some crazy reason, everybody that knows you online, all your networking, all your website, everything is deleted overnight. How differently would you do it if you had to start today, or what would you do?
Well, I mean, obviously I would start out with a game plan. You know, when I first started, I mean, the first business I had was that technology site. And like a lot of people, I was completely guessing the entire time. I mean, back then, a lot of what we do now didn't really exist. I was having to figure it out as we went. Obviously, down the road, 17 years, that experience gives one heck of a rear view mirror. So it's really, you know, when I look back at it now, I would be like, yes, I would have started that email list a lot earlier. I would have probably started up a membership site a lot earlier. I would have picked my market a little bit differently. Quite frankly, that very first site that I created, the idea of even looking at it with any potential business angle down the road just had never even occurred to me. It was literally just a hobby. So if I were going into it now, bringing that experience to the table, I would start off with where I want to be, what the end game is, what, you know, do I want to be turning this into a business or not? Well, probably yes in my case. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, these are the products that I want to make. These are the solutions that I'm going to provide. And I'd map that stuff out at the beginning rather than just winging it the entire time, which is definitely the way that I got going.
Right. Is that, but because you know your audience now, like if you don't know, like, do you think that you should build an audience and then find products that you can build for them? Or should you just build a product and then blindly go and try and sell it to them?
No, you need to have a market to go to first, obviously, yes. Because you can't create the product if you don't know who you're serving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That's cool. Okay, let's move on to work. You are running a six-figure business. You have a lot of products. You have a lot of training on your site that looks very, very well made, lots of it by you, I'm sure.
Yep.
You're a father, you're a husband, you're a speaker, and you're an author. Therefore, you are probably fairly busy. And you're a podcaster.
Yes.
So I want to know, you woke up this morning, it's a work day, you have all of this other stuff in your life, plus you have a business that already demands stuff of you, plus you probably want to push that business further and create new things. And you had to do an interview with me and possibly other people today. What did you do for the first 30 minutes from waking up this morning, that first 30 minutes to kind of set yourself up to kind of kick the butt you needed to kick throughout the day to get what you needed done?
Well, this morning I actually sat down and made the to-do list. But the thing in my case is it's a matter of how you actually do that to-do list. So I have a grand plan. And in fact, like a lot of people, I actually sat down and put a lot of thought into that at the beginning of the year. I actually took off in my RV and took just 2 days by myself. My wife was cool enough to allow me to do that and just really put a lot of time into what do I want to get done this year, how I want to do things a little bit differently. So I've got this grand plan that starts off with the goals at the top, and then it kind of gets into this nested list where I break down the goals into the individual plans, and then each of those breaks down into the different projects that I want to do and things like that. So I look at that big idea that I have, and then the to-do list comes off of that, because I know that, and I've done this, trust me, lots of times, is a to-do list ends up becoming just this list of things that we hope to get done by the end of the day. And it's just, we end up, it's almost like we're in firefighter mode when we put that list together. And it's, you're not always making a lot of forward movement on the grander vision. It's more like you're putting out fires all day long. And so that's the big thing I do, is review the big idea and create the list off of that. To me, it's also because I've spent a lot of time as an entrepreneur, comes in waves, but it's the idea of being in maintenance mode, almost like I become the worker in my own business rather than the executive of my business. And by reviewing that big grand plan routinely, it kind of forces me to put that executive hat back on and really run this thing rather than just being my own laborer.
Smart. And do you, so you have a big grand plan with like nested goals for the year. Is that going to be stay completely static for you for the year, or do you revisit it quarterly or monthly to kind of see if business is changing or what you want to do is changing? Or do you just, nope, this is what we're doing. I decided this in the RV 6 months ago and it sticks because my wife let me go for 2 days. So I'm not changing this.
No, it does adapt. I mean, it's not one that I adapted on a weekly basis or anything like that, because then you'd still be kind of fly by night. But, exactly. But quarterly, yes, I will go in there and make edits. And, you know, even when it comes down to the granular level of that plan, when it comes down to individual projects, because at that point we start getting into the real details of steps. And that can change a lot more often, because once you actually begin something, sometimes it changes than what you thought it was going to look like.
Exactly. So that's interesting. That's projects. Let's take this to projects since you mentioned it. I want to know, you have a business that's been going for a long time now. It's very well developed. You have a great presence online. You have like a suite full of products and services at this point. But I'm sure that there's still ideas that come through your head, ideas that come across your desk or through your inbox of new projects, whether that's a new training course or when you decide to start the podcast, whatever it happens to be, like a new traffic method, something. How is it that you, David, decide that a project now, project being very loosely defined, but how do you decide that the project is right for you and for Blog Marketing Academy at this point?
Well, I kind of work it backwards from having this vision in my mind, and I actually do write it down as to what my business ideally looks like. It's almost like creating that utopian ideal view of this is what I want the thing to look like. And so I will look at what I have on my agenda. And if it doesn't fit that, then that's an easy no. And then I'll break it down a little bit further into, I'll look for departures from that ideal thing. And I'll be like, you know, and you can start to prioritize in your head and be like, well, I've got to get this thing done before I can, you know, do other stuff. For example, there right now, you know, as long as I've been doing this, there are still things behind the scenes in my business that are just not set up right. For example, some stuff with some of our statistical tracking and things like that. And it's just kind of nitty gritty, like work, but it needs to be addressed before I can make proper decisions on other things. So sometimes that will determine priority. But, you know, if I get some idea on a blog post that I read somewhere else, it doesn't mean that I'm going to go execute on it right away. A lot of times I'll put it into Evernote. I'll put it in like a little someday file and, you know, and I'll review it a little bit later. But I definitely am a believer in kind of having a little bit of an information diet, because it's really easy to get distracted. And that's how we end up in that information overload and overwhelm situation that a lot of my audience is dealing with. And I try to work them through it, but it's a difficult one. But I deal with the exact same thing. It's just I have to have that personal discipline of knowing when not to do something.
Yeah. And information overload is a huge, huge issue for, it seems, for almost everybody starting out. I know I spent almost 3 years in it before I just was like, oh my God, I think I learned enough in like the first 2 months. I just haven't started. Now it's just a distraction and a reason to not start, right? And then once you start, then you're golden.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I've equated this to like parenthood. You know, I've got two kids, and it's one of those things to where it doesn't matter how much preparation you've done before you have a child or how many books you read. None of it prepares you for the moment that you actually have the child. And then it's like you feel like you're winging it the entire time and you're figuring things out as you go. Well, running an online business and doing a lot of the things that we do are very much the same way. You can read about it. You can prepare constantly. At the end of the day, the only way to really do anything is to start, and you're going to start figuring things out as you go.
Yeah. I've repeated to people so many times, they like ask me, how do you podcast? How do you do this? Right. And I say, it's not just you. Trust me. Nobody knows what they are doing. Nobody.
Oh, no.
Not before they've started. Right. The parenthood one makes perfect sense, but I don't think people get it until they've had a kid. I have a kid. And of course, you have no clue how to have a kid until you have a kid. And then it's just like, oh, you just have to, but you have no idea. Like, I mean, before we got on this call, you were like, oh, John, you probably know more about podcasting than I do. It's like, I've been podcasting for like 6 months, not even, you know what I mean? It's just, and I had no clue how to do it. I just was like, screw it. I'm doing it. I'm interviewing people because I want to talk about business, but I don't know how to do that. But how else can I do it? I figured by 50 people, I would be kind of an expert at it. Right now I'm at like 70 something. And I guess I'm getting interest from people that they're telling me, it's like, wow, you're really good at this. How did you get so good? Well, I started in July. I just went for it. I didn't read stuff about it. I didn't like, yeah, actually I did. I watched a lot of Charlie Rose because I love his interview style, but
no, that's absolutely the way to do it. I mean, even earlier when I was talking about how I would have a game plan going in, I mean, you can take those things way too far. And I think some people definitely, they try to have every single part of their game plan figured out before they ever get off the ground and start. And it's just, it doesn't matter. You're just delaying the start by doing that. So you want to have some type of a game plan, but definitely don't. I mean, maybe go off like I did for a day or two, think about it, and then hit the ground running and start.
Exactly. And because the game plan, especially a really big game plan, the worst part I find about that is you're like, okay, it's all mapped out. You get to the first step, you get halfway through it, and something sideswipes you and changes all the rest of the game plan. And it's like,
oh yeah,
wow. It's like you just went through all that. Like it has to, you have to be so adaptive and fluid in business because things are going to change. I mean, just you and your business, the things that have changed technologically, if you wouldn't have taken a hold of those and like been like, nope, 17 years ago, I decided this is what I'm going to do. It's like, I'm going to master AOL. It's like, well,
exactly.
You probably should. You know what I mean? So,
oh yeah.
Okay. At the beginning, David, I asked you what it was your one thing. And you told me it was because you're stubborn. Now, every blog post, every expert out there is telling us the 80-20 rule. Find your 20%, do that because that'll bring 80% of your results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Can you now tell me something, David, that you are absolutely not good at?
You know, I could give you individual skills, but I'm going to put it up a level from that. It comes down to details. Like I am a really good big picture guy. I'm good at creating the concept of what needs to happen. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty of getting it executed, I sometimes don't follow through completely. And I've even had, in fact, some of what I'm doing in the next month or two is going back into systems that I had already set up, but they were just kind of buggy because I didn't completely follow through with it. And so that's probably the biggest thing is I'm really good at coming up with ideas. A lot of entrepreneurs are. I'm good at executing some things, but I've got my specific skills. Like I'm really good at creating content and stuff like that. But there's a lot of the business behind the scenes things that, you know, follow through is sometimes is a little bit of a thing. So when it comes to things to outsource, that's definitely one of the areas I focus.
And do you outsource a lot?
Yeah, I've got two VAs and it's one of those things to where I am on a constant quest right now to revisit processes, repeatable things, and even the ones that I've already created and just fine tune them. Like for example, we just talked about the podcast and I got through completing a really nice repeatable process so that all the post-production is dealt with by my general VA. It was not an audio editor or anything, but I just systematized it down to the point where she can do it and she's doing it fine.
Nice. Do you systematize that for her? Is that what you did or did you get her to systematize it?
I systematized it for her. That way all the little pieces, you know, where I want things to be posted, where all that were determined.
Nice.
And yeah, the audio editing part, I gave her a couple of YouTube videos and said, hey, go check this out and give it a whirl. And you know, you give her an intro or an outro and I just record the middle, she can kind of take care of the rest.
Yeah. And processes and systems, this was something I realized just a couple of years ago. They seem like such big, daunting things to people who aren't really into systematizing stuff. But like, how do I create a process? And I was told by somebody, it's like, you know what, John, you actually, everything in your business has a process and a system already built. You just haven't thought about it.
Yep.
So the way you do stuff is ridiculous and terrible, but it is a system and it is a process. If you write down everything you do to put out a blog post, I'll probably look at it and laugh and be like, wow, you do like six extra things you don't need to do, but that's still a system. That's still a process. And then I was like, wow, I never thought of it. I thought I had to make systems and processes, but it's really just how you do everything just in a, the way you do it, right?
Yeah.
So it really made it easier for me to then go and systematize my business because I did. I wrote down the ridiculous ways I did everything and then looked at them and tried not to laugh at myself and then was like, wow, I should really organize this a bit better. But
absolutely. I mean, it, some people, they hear systems and process and they just think boring. You know, it's not the creative part of what, you know, makes some of this stuff sound really cool to all of us. But the thing is, it's just part of growing up. I mean, and quite frankly, I wish that I had thought this way a lot earlier because I probably would be a lot further down the road with where I want to be. It's, you know, it's, I spoke earlier about the, about, I think I did anyway, but it was one of those things where losing that creative spark and I can create and I can grow, but then the keeping it on part. Well, the thing is, if I get so busy in that part of that cycle where you're kind of keeping it going and doing minutia, then it doesn't allow me as an entrepreneur to be in that creative mode, which is where I'm going to make the most money and where things are going to make the most progress is when I'm in that mode. So those systems and those processes allow me to get rid of those things I shouldn't be doing, like you say, so that I can be creative. Otherwise, I just get mired down.
Yeah, exactly. And being creative and creating content, are those the same thing for you?
It's part of it. I mean, there's also the part of being an entrepreneur where I come up with ideas on new courses or some new marketing thing or something like that. So there's a lot of behind the scenes creativity. It's all part of the create. But for me, for sure, the content is part of it. I really enjoy doing it.
Do you have a system now in place for creating like a new small course? I know this is something that absolutely baffles people, including myself. Do you have like a system you follow or like a method of teaching or something?
Well, I can speak a little bit to the format. So I have larger form courses and those kinds of things. Obviously, if one has never made one before, it can seem pretty daunting. But over at the Academy, I've got a thing called an action plan as well. And that's kind of like a little mini course. It's almost like, you know, it's a lot more focused and it makes it so that like I can literally sit down with a basic outline and create one of these things in about a day. So it makes it a lot more approachable for me. And it's still really useful for people because the other thing is that they remove a lot of the theory, you know, I don't know if I can speak, but the theory part of a lot of what we're doing, especially in my market, a lot of them just want to get down to brass tacks and be like, tell me what to do so I can get the result that I want. And like, that's kind of what the action plans are all about. And they're easier for me. So, you know, one of my advice to people, if they're looking to make courses is maybe just pare down your vision for it, not to make it less useful, but it doesn't necessarily have to be large and like an encyclopedia. And I think a lot of people think that a course has to be super large to be useful.
Yeah. I was looking at your action plans yesterday. I believe I was on there doing some research and yeah, they're impressive. I almost like added three of them to my cart. And then I was like, I'm just doing research, man. I'm going to get totally excited, but they're good. They really are good. I do recommend people check them out because I think that they are, especially like you say, in the simplicity, it really helps, right? They just look like they're like, wow, you could just literally go through this and it's an action plan to do what it says you can do by the end of it. It's genius.
Yeah, they're very targeted and that was kind of the nature. I mean, it's good for me because they're easier to make, but it's also good for the person going through it because it's just less things I've got to think about. And I think, you know, a lot of it's what we were speaking earlier about information overload. Well, a lot of courses end up becoming information overload for people because they contain so many things. And sometimes in order to get to where you want to be, the answer is to simplify, not to get more.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Okay, let's finish up with success and the future. You spent 2 days coming up with a grand plan and with nested goals throughout that you're going to sort of revisit throughout the year, but you must have a vision of what it is you want to accomplish in your business this year. Can you tell us what is the big thing that you want to do this year?
This year, for me, so here's the thing. In 2014, and actually wrote a blog post about this. I actually felt like I lost my way. It almost sounds a little too brutal for what actually happened, but I kind of lost a little bit of that creative drive. And at toward the end of the year, I felt like I got it back, but it was just with some mindset shifts. And so what I'm really doing with 2015 is almost refocusing on the unique selling proposition that I have in this market to begin with, because I felt like I was getting a little bit too spread out and trying to do too much. I mean, even as long as I've been doing this, I still sometimes fall into the same trap that other people do. So 2015 for me is going to be about really hammering in on my unique place in this market and doing it a lot better way. And then we were talking about the systems and back end stuff. I've got a lot that I want to do behind the scenes that's just going to make the Blog Marketing Academy run a hell of a lot more efficiently so that I can increase the throughput, have a much bit wider impact, but I don't have to work as much. That's kind of what I'm doing.
That's running a business.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah. I think you're going to do some really big things this year. You have the focus, you have the drive, and obviously you have the experience behind you. So I really look forward to seeing what you put out, David.
Thanks.
We've briefly talked about your business in passing. Can you specifically tell the listener where they should go find you?
Right to the main site, which is at blogmarketingacademy.com. And pretty much you can find everything that I do right there on that site.
Excellent. I will link to that in the show notes so it's easy for everyone to find. Go check it out. And I would check out those action plans because they could be right exactly something that you are looking to start doing. David, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us today for this time. And I appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing what you do this coming year.
Thanks so much.
David, thank you so much for stopping by. That was a lot of fun. I like how you've done it. I like what you've done. I really admire the Blog Marketing Academy, and it's impressive, man. 17 years online. That's a long time. That's a long time to be in any sort of business, but online, it doesn't get much longer than that. And that's just, it's impressive, man. Well, well done. David says a lot of cool things. He said a lot of smart things. But he said one thing, didn't he? He did. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
It doesn't matter how much preparation you've done before you have a child or how many books you read. None of it prepares you for the moment that you actually have the child. And then it's like you feel like you're winging it the entire time and you're figuring things out as you go. Well, running an online business and doing a lot of the things that we do are very much the same way. You can read about it. You can prepare constantly. At the end of the day, the only way to really do anything is to start, and you're going to start figuring things out as you go.
And that's the hack. David. Thank you. Yes, exactly. I love the analogy to the having the child because it's true. No one's ever ready. No one's ever ready to have the kid, and you just do it, right? But it seems like when business, you can waste so much time. It was like 3 years between going from an offline world of business to online. And it was just because I didn't take the action. I just kept reading. I just kept thinking I just need to know one more thing. I need to know one more thing. And you never know it all anyways. There's never a better way to learn, obviously, than just doing it. David is in the business of teaching people how to move online and start blogging, building their platform, and then building a business from that. He knows that. And it's funny, actually, just thinking about it now, because he is in the business of creating content to get people to do that. Yet he's telling you to just stop with the content, stop with it at times. You have to just, there really is, you just need to just step up. You need to just start because you'll figure it out as you go and you'll mess up all the time. Trust me. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know. I do it all the time. Yet it doesn't even really faze me anymore. It's just kind of part of it. It's like life. It's like being a father for the first time. You screw up all kinds of stuff, but the kid survives, you survive, everyone's happy. It works out. So David, thank you so much for that, because I absolutely agree. You just have to step up. You have to start and just be willing to figure it out as you go. Well, that was a lot of fun. David, I really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you so much out there for stopping by with us and spending this half hour with us. I really, really, really appreciate it. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. If you haven't gone there, you'll see a nice, lovely picture of me at the top. Put your email in there, and you'll get some of my best writing that I'm sending out once a week. Every Sunday afternoon, I'm sending out an email there, and I would love to have contact with you. You can hit reply to any of those emails. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what you're stuck with. Tell me what you are working on. I would love to hear it. If you haven't yet, I think we just hit 255 star reviews. I think we're just getting going, guys. If you haven't left me one yet, it takes literally 2 minutes. HackTheEntrepreneur.com/iTunes. And there you are. If you're on iTunes already, just look up Hack the Entrepreneur. You'll find us there. Leave me a review, just an honest review. I would absolutely love it. If you can, and you're on Twitter as well, drop me your Twitter name in your review at your name. Then I can reach out to you. I can't contact you through iTunes, but I can contact you on Twitter. And I would love to thank you for taking the 2 minutes to leave me a review. All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun. As always, thank you so much. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.